Hey there, podcast listeners. It's Anne. 100 years ago, the poet Carl Sandburg turned Chicago into an American icon when he called it the City of Broad Shoulders. He wrote a series of poems describing Chicago as a gritty Midwestern metropolis teeming with hardworking immigrants. Well, now, composer David Nagler has celebrated the 100th anniversary of those poems by dusting them off and setting them to music. His new song cycle features a roster of musical heavy hitters, and this week, Charles Monroe Cain brings us a conversation with David Nagler about what those poems mean to him personally and what it feels like to contribute to the continuum of the Chicago experience.
For the world, toolmaker.
So it was 1998, and my mother had visited the Carl Sandburg home in Flat Rock, North Carolina. My sister was, I think she was working at a summer camp down there, and my mother went to visit her. She had a day off, and she said, "Oh, I'll go check out the Carl Sandburg home." And she brought me back this anthology of poems called Harvest Poems. And she gave it to me at the end of the summer, not long before I went to Chicago to visit. I didn't know very much at all about Sandburg, but I knew that that was probably his most well-known work, with the exception of the Abraham Lincoln biography. And so I read it while I was there. It's these 16 poems out of Chicago poems, just about 150. And I just thought they were great, and more specifically, they just reminded me of song lyrics as I read them, and so that was sort of where it all started.
City of the Big Shoulders.
So you're reading them, and you're like, yeah, these are songs. I mean, to me, that seems like a pretty big leap, because I know lyrics is poetry and all this stuff. But I got to tell you, when I heard I was going to do this interview, I had the album. I'm like, wait, I'm not going to read the album. I'm going to reread the poems. I'm a big fan of Sandburg, so I'm going to reread the poems first. And I was like, whoa, this is going to be hard. How's he going to pull this off? Like, how did you pull that off? Those aren't naturally right. Lyrics, really.
No, there were basically a handful, maybe like two or three that sort of got the idea going. In particular, the poem Mag is the big one for me. That was the one where I read it, and at the time I was listening to a lot of Randy Newman records, and the character in that poem seemed like a character from a Randy Newman song. And like Lost was another one where it seemed very, very much like a kind of atmospheric lyric that I could set to music, and it didn't have to be a very long song or anything, but I could sort of use that one.
Where fog trails and mist creeps, the whistle of a boat calls and cries unendingly.
Once I had those two, that was when the idea started snowballing, and then the really challenging lyrics happened, like, oh, Chicago, how am I going to set that to music? And
seriously, no, I've got to ask you about that, because everybody who's listening right now wants to know this question I'm about to ask you. I mean, you got to hit Hog Butcher for the World, man, or your album's not going to work. Like, that's a lot of pressure. That's really iconic.
Yeah.
How did you pull that off? How did you pull off those famous, famous words?
Well, the one thing I can say about that is I didn't start with the intro.
That's smart.
Yes, yeah, I was like, I'm going to put this on the back burner for now. I started with the section where it goes, "They tell me you are wicked, and I believe them," and it's a very kind of like conversational, sort of talking lyric. You know, it was sort of like half sung, half spoken, and I was like, that's the way I would approach any other poems like that. And so I kind of plowed ahead from there, got to the end of the poem and song, and then later went back and was like, okay, I got to do something anthemic for the Hog Butcher for the World part. And then that was where that sort of idea of like a bed of strings and a trumpet melody, and then the vocal comes in and sings the melody. So that was how that happened. But I did put off the the anthemic part for a bit.
You got to get into it first, right? You got to kind of feel it and then to go back to the hard part. Who were you thinking about when you were singing that? Right? Were you thinking about Carl Sandburg? Were you thinking about your mom? Were you thinking about yourself? Like the listener? I mean, who exactly was your audience at that moment?
Well, it was as much as I knew about Sandburg at the time, which was very little. I knew very little about him. I read some of the other poems and Harvest poems, but I didn't really dive deep until I was finishing the record. But I basically went by the text. What Sandburg was trying to convey about Chicago at the time, and was just like, that is what I want to be able to project outward.
Were you thinking about the musicality and instruments about period? I mean, since this was written so long ago, did you consider that as well? I mean, you wouldn't have turntables, right?
Right, right, true. Not even 78s, I guess, at the time. But it
I wouldn't even know that either.
I was going for something that didn't seem anachronistic. So I did want it to be like strings and piano and, you know, horn and woodwind instruments. I didn't want to include like synths and electric guitars or anything like that. And so that was I sort of knew eventually. I didn't really start doing a full arrangement until 2 or 3 years ago, maybe,
right,
as I was sort of getting close to like conceiving what the finished record would be like. But at the time I wrote the song, I sort of knew that it had to have this sort of vibe that could fit at any time throughout the 20th century, particularly when it was written.
Right. It could be Chicago now, Chicago then. You know, it's interesting for me. At what point in this process did you be like, hey, Kelly Hogan, Sally Timms, Robbie Folks, Jeff Tweedy, John Langford, you guys want to join me? Because were you far enough along that you could play them the Chicago song and say, hey, will you do these other songs? Or how did that happen? Because those are really big names.
The Dago Shovel Man.
There's a very specific reason why this happened, which is there's the poem and eventual song called Child of the Romans. And there's this great Chicago singer-songwriter, Daniel Knox, who I had played a show with in New York maybe around like 2009 or 2010. And when I wrote the song, his stuff is just so amazing. He's such a great performer and writer. And I had him in mind as I was writing the song, so much that I could say he was a direct influence on the song. And so as I came up with the idea to record it, and I was thinking like, oh, wouldn't it be great if I could get him to sing it?
Eat steaks running with brown gravy, strawberries and cream, eclairs and coffee.
And then it just was like, well, why stop with him? I should like see who else is available.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it. I made a list of all these, you know, mostly friends, I can call them, Chicago singers and songwriters and musicians that I was like, God, it would be so great if they were on the record. And pretty much just about everyone, you know, was involved.
So you just called Jeff Tweedy up and say, hey, Jeff, could you do Theme in Yellow? and he said, sure. And Jeff, do whatever you want? Or how does that work?
It was actually via Kelly Hogan that I ended up recording some of the Chicago guests at Wilco Studio in Chicago. And it was sort of after that Chicago experience that I had where I recorded everyone, that was when the sort of momentum sort of went into play to see if Jeff was available to sing it, because as I was making that list, that song just seemed so well suited for him.
I spot the hills with yellow balls in autumn. I like the prairie cornfields, orange and tawny gold clusters, and I am called pumpkins.
Hey, tell me a little bit more about that song, because I thought I knew the Sandburg poems. I don't know this one at all. It's a fantastic poem.
Yeah.
And so you just knew you wanted Jeff to do that exact song. It's a great song for him, actually, now that you mention it. But well, how did that happen? Because, I mean, I'm looking at it, and it's really about a jack-o'-lantern, right? Like, it's not what you would think. Go tell how'd you pick that?
Well, there's in the Harvest Poems collection, and it's interesting that this anthology is called Harvest Poems because there are several poems within the Chicago poems, the poems that are taken from Chicago poems. There are many that talk about like the harvest moon,
right.
And the moon, and they have that sort of autumnal sort of feeling to them. And that seemed to be something that Sandberg was really taken by at the time. And so Theme in Yellow, for me, took a long time to actually finish it. I didn't know where I wanted to go. And it's interesting that you mention the jack-o'-lantern element, because for a while it was going to be sort of like a minor key, maybe a little bit of even a scary song.
Yes, I wanted to ask you that. Not in a minor key. Why? Like, that's really surprised me.
Really what it comes down to is I tried it and it didn't work.
Right, because I mean, I'm looking at it right here. I'm like, I am a jack-o'-lantern with terrible teeth.
Yeah.
And the children know I am fooling. There's that twist at the end, right?
Well, yeah, but that's sort of the positive, you know, major twist at the end. Ah, the children just know it's all for fun, you know, sort of that kind of vibe.
You do this upbeat song surrounding, you have Jep Tweedy sing it, and it becomes, from my understanding, looking at it on the internet and interacting with people in the media, this kind of becomes a hit. I mean, Rolling Stone and Pitchfork, people flip out over Jep Tweedy singing this song. People love it. Were you surprised by that?
Not really. I mean, Wilco's a great band, and Jeff has a lot of fans, and he just did an amazing job with it. I mean, it's like the second he sent over the vocal for me to listen to, and I heard the first word and I immediately flipped out. It was perfect. It's what you always dream about, and then it happens, and it's even more amazing.
Fantastic. Cue music. How's that? I'll have to remind myself. That's beautiful, dude.
I ask professors who teach the meaning of life to tell me what is happiness. And I went to famous executives who boss the work of thousands of men.
The song Happiness. Oh my God. It's so beautiful. Can you tell me about how that came about?
Well, that was conceived in two parts. That was one of the early ones that I had written. But I definitely wanted it to be the first part. I wanted to be sort of upbeat. It was almost sort of like a hardcore song, actually, in the initial way that I had imagined it. Like, it had this sort of like hardcore, sort of punk, slightly Balkan sort of feel to it. And then I wanted the second part to be a little bit more grand and. And of course, they, you know, he mentions having an accordion within the poem, and so I was like, well, there should probably be an accordion as well. And so that was the way I had I'd always sort of imagined it. It's a song in two parts, and in fact, you know, one sort of fades out, and the other one kind of fades in from there. So much to the point where, even as I was finishing up the record, it was always like two separate tracks that I just had to, you know, right, put together and mastering. So,
you know, that twist at the end of that song, you know, yeah, the happiness is found by Hungarians drinking beer by a river with their women and their children and their accordions, but not by the executives and the fat cats with the cigars, you know. I must have listened to that 10 times in a row, and I'm like, oh my God, this is an old Woody Guthrie song. It felt like the way he would do it, and then you twist it. I went to this guy, and in the end, I find it with the Hungarians. Like, is there something about that time period, this time of our history, that conjures up these kind of songs?
Well, this is, I mean, at the time that he wrote this, Sandberg was a journalist. He, when he moved back to Chicago, he was in Milwaukee before that, working as, I believe, secretary to the Democratic Socialist mayor. And then he moved back to Chicago, and he was working mostly as a journalist, where he would interview basically all sorts of people, and he would be on different assignments all throughout the city and sort of on the outskirts as well. And so that was, you know, this was something that to him was like kind of like a basic truth that, like, you can have all the money and power in the world, but that really doesn't mean that much in the scheme of things. Like, what you need is just like family and good times and, you know, freedom and happiness. That was sort of, I think, what Sandberg believed.
Everybody loved Chick Lorimer in our town, far off. hold on a dream she wants.
I'm listening to this music in the context of Donald Trump.
Right.
You know, the kind of the epitome of a fat cat, in a sense, you know, the cigar-chomping guy. And I think to myself, a lot of people think, I think that happiness isn't singing by the river with your women and your children, your accordions and your beer anymore. Don't you think? I mean, I think that that used to be a known assumption. I don't know if it is anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not taken as, but then again, I'm not sure it was taken as a given back then either.
Sure.
I mean, because there were certain, people had certain aspirations, you know, to, especially when you're talking about like, you know, immigrant populations coming into the States who want to sort of, who want to make it for themselves and, you know, and, you know, and feed their family and everything. And I think for, we don't have that sort of, drive as
right.
much anymore. I mean, maybe at this point there's too much cynicism. I'm it's tough to say.
Right. But I can tell you that I live in a smaller town in America, and I was thinking about this poem because I live by a river, and there was a Mexican family, very large extended Mexican family there, and the men on one level are playing soccer over here. There's somebody playing guitar. They're heating up tortillas and meat on a grill. Everyone's running around. You know, there's soda. People are cutting limes. People are laughing, and I'm saying to myself, This is the American dream, and
yeah.
these are the Hungarians by the river. Like, why does it take the immigrants to do that for us? I think, you know, that's what your song brought for me.
Yeah, that's a really good question. But it's, you know, if nothing else, it's just good to see that happiness is a constant, and exactly 100 years later, you know, you still see it, you know, actually taking place. That's really inspiring, I think.
Take me to another song, if you don't mind. It's by Robbie Foulkes, Under the Harvest Moon. The reason I want to ask you about this one is that I'm into poetry. I really like poetry. I really enjoy the kind of the intensity of poetry. And this is I don't like the Chicago poem. That's not really my favorite poem. I think it's a great poem, but I love this. I've loved this poem for years and years and years. Certainly one of my favorites of his. You guys nailed it.
Under the harvest moon, when the soft silver drips shimmering over the garden nights, Death the gray mocker comes and whispers to you as a beautiful friend who remembers.
When you, I know you live in New York City now, right?
Yes, I've lived in New York since 1999.
When you go to Chicago, I know you've probably gone back a lot to record and work on this project, you know, when you see the old architecture and the old bridges and, you know, all this old stuff from Sandberg's time, it's still there,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
Do you see it differently?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think when I was finishing writing the songs and arrangements, I finally read through the entire Chicago Poems collection, which I just didn't do. I sort of was like, well, I'll just make these songs out of these 16 poems and harvest poems and leave it at that. He mentions all these landmarks, and he mentions, you know, these places and buildings that are still there. And you can't help but sort of feel like really overwhelmed by it. It's just sort of exciting to see that, you know, we're part of a continuum, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That Sandberg was writing at a time where people, not only did people feel a lot of the same emotions and passions that they feel today, but a lot of the same, you know, architecture and environment was there as well. You know, a lot of it has changed, of course. But you go to Chicago and it still has a similar sort of gritty feeling that is evoked not only in the Chicago poem, but in other poems within the collection.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
It does make sense. So in the end, as you look back at all this music and the years you put into this, you know, and you're not even a Chicago native, it's fantastic.
Right.
And you look back and you did all this work, do you say to yourself, you know, this is what I can contribute to the continuation of this poetry? Or do you see this as like just something else? Or is this part of Sandberg more than part of you?
I would say it's a little of all of those. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I didn't come to this project as someone who wanted to, like, oh, I'm on the lookout for poetry that I can set to music. It literally was just, I read these poems and was like, these seem like lyrics to me. And, but they also, there's more to them, which I was always aware that when we're talking about a great American poet and historical figure, you want to do it justice and you want to do a good service out of it. And so that was something that I'd kept in mind while I was working on it, and just with a feeling that it was coming from a good place, and that it would be a special work for me. And that was really how it turned out. It turned out to be, like, you know, one of the great creative experiences I've had and probably will ever have.
Stuff of the Moon.
Composer David Nagler talking with Charles Monroe Kane about his new song cycle. It's called Carl Sandburg's Chicago Poems. That's it for this podcast extra. We'll be back soon with a full hour. And if you like this show, give us a rating or a comment on iTunes. That helps other curious listeners find us. To the best of our knowledge, comes to you from Madison, Wisconsin, just a tad north of Chicago, and from the studios of Wisconsin Public Radio, and also from these folks.
PRI, Public Radio International.